Sometimes we don't always comprehend what God is doing. We know for sure He is faithful. And when He begins a work, He doesn't quit till it's well done. I had a word of knowledge several weeks back, actually. Pondering what He wanted for this very holy day of anointing, of atonement. Being a day where you're actually preparing for 10 days to get to this one. And they're called the days of awe. I would like to first give you, there has been several areas of awe that have happened. And sometimes we say awe because we're totally shocked. And sometimes we say awe because we're totally happy. And in my experience of the days of awe, I've had both. I had one of those shock moments last night. I'm driving home, my cell phone rings, my wife is on the phone. She says, please keep Christopher in prayer. We just brought him to the emergency room because he's got some fever, things are not good. When I left, he was sound asleep. He had done therapy in the morning, and it was a reasonable day, I thought. He had had the stitches removed on Monday night, or staples, rather. And needless to say, every step going in the right direction is a rejoicing moment. Well, his wife and my son, his dad, went to the emergency room, and to make a long story short, the only person that was allowed to touch him was the surgeon who did the surgery. So back to Boston he went in the middle of the night in an ambulance. They were able to return home, and they finally both went to bed this morning at 5 o'clock. He still hadn't gotten into a room. Those are days of awe. You say, ah, what's going on? This afternoon at 5 o'clock, I called because I wanted to know what the status was, because at 1 o'clock, my wife and daughter-in-law called and let me know that he was going through surgery at 2. Because the infection needed to be cleaned up. But the good report is that at 5 o'clock, the surgery had been completed. They didn't have to go all the way back down to the bone, which was, praise God. And they cleaned out whatever was misbehaving. It's a day of awe. So my hope is that when they get him back to settling into a place of comfort, he'll be able to return home soon and the next level of recovery. But he's been fighting this infection ever since the surgery took place, because every single night around 5-6 o'clock his temperature would start rising. We knew it. And by 7 o'clock we could tell, you know, his ears were red and his cheeks were not normal. And but every day we kept saying, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but we're going to rejoice anyway because you've got a plan. You know, when you want to see what's inside of yourself, look for a day of, ah, what are you doing, God? Well, Sunday night I had a different kind of an awe. One of my wife's cousins, who is a young man who has lost both his parents. He lost them both to cancer, and he's actually born in between our two sons. He's been close to us ever since he's been born. All of his family, except for one aunt, is still living. And my wife and I are quite close to him. He took the wrong path for many years. And to make a long story short, a little over a year and a half ago, I had to really give him what you call tough love. He had lost everything. His wife, two homes, two cars and a truck, had gotten himself drunk with some pills, got into a car accident, landed in jail, and needless to say, wanted help. Again, we had helped him before, but he used for the wrong reasons. And all I kept hearing in my heart is, make sure your wife does not get on this phone. Because my wife is full of compassion, and what he needed was a firm father's hand. So I made sure that that was applied, because every excuse he gave me, and I'll give you a couple of them, because I heard my mouth going. You know when you hear your mouth going, it's not you, it's God that's talking. And God can be a tough God. He's a jealous God. He doesn't like the opposite. His comment to me, because I wouldn't send him any money, was that he needed a job. Well, he wanted the job with big bucks and a position, because he's a college graduate after all. And I told him I didn't worship degrees. Thermometers had them, and I wasn't going to worship thermometers either. And the next level came, well, I won't be able to take a shower because I only can stay here for 4 days. I says, well, then you can stand in the rain. Praise God you're in Florida. It's going to be nice warm rain. He didn't like that either. I thought you said you loved me. Yes, I tell you, I love you enough to tell you the truth. So then he gives me the other sad story. What happens if I have no place to sleep? I said, there are park benches, young man. And I said, I presume you have a jacket. Yeah, but it's kind of dirty. I said, you should have thought of that before you made those bad choices. My wife won't answer the phone. I said, I wouldn't either if I was your wife. He said, what am I going to do? I said, you're going to get a job. And you're going to do what God says to do. And he hung up on me. But he had given me the name of the person who was in charge of the shelter where he was. And so I called behind his back and told the person that I would definitely cover the cost of his room if it was needed, but I didn't want him to know about it because he wasn't to know. Well, the Sunday night, the phone rings, and guess who's on the phone? The same young man. You know who this is? Absolutely. I know exactly who it is. David, how are you? He said, I'm full of joy. I said, okay, I'm all ears. Well, my wife and I are back together. Praise the Lord. He said, yes. And thank you for being harsh and loving me enough to say no. I said, I'm all ears. Well, he says, you know, I did get a job. I said, you did? Yup. Third shift in a restaurant washing dishes. And I did it week after week. And the Salvation Army people kept me. And I stayed in the dorm. And I went to discipleship training. And now I know Jesus more than I've ever known him. And I love him so much. And I said, praise the Lord. Those are days of awe. So he kept going, and he kept going. And he said, the next thing came. The commander asked me if I had spoken to my wife. And he says, I told him she hangs up on me every time I call. So undoubtedly they prayed, and he called, and she answered the phone, and he set up a date. And he started to date his wife. And week after week, kept doing all the things he needed to do. Several months later, he was asked if he could consider joining the worship team of the church. He is a bass cellist, graduate from University of Massachusetts. He had pawned his cello, went back, saved his money, and got it back, and now is part of the worship team. The next level comes several months later. The lady who supervises the project in the big building that they have for people who are being rehabilitated said, David, I'd like to talk with you. And so he said, what have I done wrong? And so she said to him, David, you didn't do anything wrong. Please come into my office. She said, you have been recommended, and we'd like you to take over the managerial position for the whole complex. Would you consider it? And so now he's working full-time for the Salvation Army, supervising all the men that are in that building. And several weeks or months later, months I believe, a gentleman passed away. So he got in touch and helped to work with the people who take care of the bodies and call the family. And make a long story short, the day after the funeral, the son of the gentleman who had passed away came and said, David, I'd like to give you these. And he hands him a set of keys. So this is my father's truck. So David turned around and said, well, I can't afford that. He says, I just barely make ends meet. He says, I didn't ask you for any money. I'm giving it to you. So he got a gift of a truck. He didn't have his license yet, and he didn't have a lot of other things. To make a long story short, that's been completed. They renewed their vows. They are now living together as husband and wife again. And Saturday afternoon is when their phone was installed, and I was the first person they called Sunday. So then I spoke to his wife, and she says, you told me never to give up, but I had given up. I said, when you both prayed to Jesus, didn't you give your lives to him? She says, yeah, but I didn't think he loved us that much, and I even enjoyed the service this morning. What does that tell you? It's a day of awe. It's a day of awe. The second day of awe was Monday. I got a telephone call from a doctor friend of mine, whom I've known before he even came out of disability. He used to sweep the floors for the U.S. Post Office as a disabled veteran. Today he's a psychiatrist, and he works with the veterans. And he's been through a major, major overhaul in God. I've been working with him now for 20-something years. He almost died a few years ago. And God allowed him to go through a divorce. He has never had any children and had given up. Well, he informed me that his girlfriend is expecting a baby. He just turned 50, and I told him it was time for a jubilee. So that was another day of awe, because they're getting married. And that he's told me many times, I'll never do again. I said, well, now you know. Don't open your mouth before it's turned. There are many other things that God has done in these days of preparation for today. But one of the things he showed me, and he confirmed it yesterday through Bruce, that this particular day was set aside by God so that all of Israel could come to Jerusalem, and they would set aside a time of repentance to change their minds, not literally to cry before God, but to change their minds about their future. and to set before God a pattern of deliverance and a plan of freedom. And they would take all of their hard areas that they knew was difficult in their hearts, their weaknesses, their things that they had been struggling with the whole year through, and give it to God. And obviously the high priest would lay hands on the scapegoat, and the goat would be released. There was one that was killed, but one would be released. And what the Holy Spirit said to me is that we're not living in that day because we already know who took our sins away. But how many have a few pet problems that they still end up with and I'd like to get rid of once and for all? So when I mentioned this to one of our ladies, she says, oh my God, she says, I thought God took care of all our sin. Yes, he did. But how many problems do you still have in your flesh that run the wrong direction, trying to push you down, trying to pull you down? And so this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, Mark 11:24. So if you want to go to Mark 11:24, I'd like to share that with you. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Wow. That means that if I believe that I have received, my act of faith is to believe for a full deliverance. Amen? So if I've got a problem with gambling, I'm going to set before God this problem of gambling, and I'm going to give it to Jesus and believe that I have received deliverance and it will be done unto me. Romans 10:9-10. Who knows what it is? Yeah. So your confession brought you salvation, didn't it? You were born again when you declared Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Why can't you declare your freedom from gambling if that's what your problem is? Or alcoholism, or drug addiction, or whatever. Whatever form of lust, whatever form of wrong desires that are in you. Maybe your anger. Maybe whatever it is that's weakening you, trying to steal from you. Wow, can I get rid of it this way? Yes, you can. Because without faith, you cannot please God. So what are you doing? If you have a person in your life that you can't stand, put them on the list. Well, you might have a few. And please, don't give me a big, long list, because the Lord said, make it brief, because it's between him and you. So I said to the Lord, how are you going to deal with this? He says, they're going to write some of this down on a piece of paper. And so this morning, the Lord said, make sure that you take a little piece, just this big, not a big piece of paper, just this big. Write down those areas that you have a problem with. Not very big. So you're getting to abbreviate, okay? So that it's between you and God. And then you can declare it is written. How many know when you can declare it's written that the enemy listens? Remember when Jesus was responding to the enemy? It is written. So we're going to write it down, whatever weaknesses that you have, that you want to get rid of, that you're ready to give up, and stop working at trying to pick it up yourself and make it perfect on your own. Because how many of you have been successful in the past year? I wasn't. There's a few corners I couldn't succeed in. There were a few others I was able to adjust. And they're not quite so big. But sometimes there's corners that we know we can't do anything about, except admit our weakness, admit our disability, and give it to Jesus. The last scripture I want you to look at is James chapter 3. Now you remember, Romans 10:9-10, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, and it will be done. James chapter 3. Now, St. James is a pretty good guy, and he knows what he's talking about when it comes with your mouth. So if you have trouble with your problems with your mouth, you might consider checking James anyway. It says, verse 2, for we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is fully developed character. He is a fully developed character. How do you like that? And a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. You don't need to go any further. You can just digest this truth. Listen again. We all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, that's intense. Never says the wrong things. He is a fully developed character. I know I'm not there yet, but I want to be. And a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. If we set bits in the horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies around or about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. And the tongue is fire. It is a fire, and the tongue it is a world of wickedness set among our members. Watch the next verse in the Amplified. Contaminating and depraving the whole body. Sometimes sickness is declared by your mouth, and you will wear the benefits. You will own them. Did you ever hear somebody say, oh, I've got such a bad cold? Well, if you've got it, it's yours. Right on. And setting on fire the wheel of birth. That part is probably the most important. The wheel of birth is set by your tongue. Your future is declared by your mouth. Today is the Day of Atonement. You've got a clean bill of health. If you begin to declare that you are now free from the garbage that has been hounding you, rather than worrying about it and focusing about it and focusing on the problem, which gives glory to who? The enemy. And he loves it. So turn it around. Let's have faith tonight as to how God wants you to work with your mouth. Amen? If you decide tonight that you are free, you will be free indeed. You see, and if you declare yourself bound, come on. Matthew 18 and 18 says what? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Who's in charge? And if your big mouth got you into trouble, it's time it's used to get you out of trouble. Somebody's getting warm here. Yeah. Let's go back. Verse 6, it's important. And the tongue is a fire, a world of wickedness set among my members, contaminating and depraving my whole body, and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell or Gehenna. Whoa! Listen to the commercials in between the news programs. And boy, if you want to see sickness being advertised and symptoms and side effects, get a clue. You're going to be so full of all the things that can go wrong. And boy, I'll tell you, they start them off young. Even the kids can declare the commercials. Why? Because you know what? Those drug companies are knowing more about faith
in the negative than you do about yourself. And they declare that you need their product, and you're going to go to your doctor, and you're going to say, you know what, doc, I need this and I need that because I've got those symptoms, and I've got this and I've got that. Well, you've got it, and you will own it, and it will kill you. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal, can be tamed, and has been tamed by human genius. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is an undisciplined, irreconcilable, restless evil, full of death, bringing poison. Woohoo! With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness. In case you forgot, when you're cursing yourself, you were made in whose image? So stop cursing you. Stop cursing your future. Come on, that was a perfect space for amen.
Amen.
Out of the same mouth came forth blessings and cursings. These things, my brethren, ought not to be so. Does a fountain set forth simultaneously the same opening fresh water and bitter? Absolutely not. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, envy, contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your heart, do not pride yourself on it, and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth, or an untruth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish, and demoniacal. Whew, that's a tongue twister. Try again. Demoniacal. I hope it's right. If it's not, you'll have to love me anyway. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, contention, rivalry, selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruit. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubt. Did you like that? Free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God, God's will, is in thoughts and deeds. I'm sorry. I'll repeat that verse 18 because it's a tongue twister. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God, will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves. Notice it's in themselves first and in others. That is, that peace which means agreement, harmony, between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from fears, agitation, passions, and moral conflict. Now, you know, that's an awful lot of words, but if you allow the Holy Spirit to decipher some of this, you'll be able to understand how your mouth can either be under the anointing of God's Holy Spirit or be under the anointing of your flesh and declare what you feel, declare all the things that you have emotional problems with, and all your weaknesses. So this is what I saw tonight. By the way, Bruce saw the same thing in his dream. And he declared that last night when we were interceding. So you will take time and you will write down, very brief, just initial whatever it is. Make sure you initial the bottom with your initials. Nobody's going to see except you. And then you're going to light this in, burn it, throw it in the kettle, and let it go to ashes where it belongs. You see, because if you let God's fire go to work, you are doing this symbolically. It's not the piece of paper that's going to set you free. It's your mouth that's going to set you free. But by your choice of having it written and then having the fire of God consume it, you will activate in the realm of the spirit the angels that are needed to keep you free and keep you fully free. And believe me, when I say this, I mean it in all fairness. If you fall tomorrow, pick yourself back up and declare you're free. If you fall the next day, pick yourself back up and declare your freedom. Until you get the message. Mark 11:24, believing you have received, it will be done unto you. If you have aught against somebody else, forgive them. Because otherwise that prayer cannot be answered. Are you ready to activate your faith? Then let's go back to Jesus, okay? I want you to just put your hand over your hearts. I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus. I can't do this on my own. But you know exactly what I need to write down on that paper. You know exactly how to word it in my heart. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking you for the grace to obey. In Jesus' name, I pray. Father, we want to honor you. Because this Day of Atonement is lasting till tomorrow night at sunset. And we want to honor every aspect of this dark time of the day. Every new day starts at dark, and then the light comes, reminding us that all of creation suffered in darkness. But then when Jesus came, the light and the sun came forth. And today, Lord Jesus, as we go forth in this day, even though the beginning of it is in dark, we believe that as the sun rises on this day, that you will commission, you will speak to us with signs and wonders and dreams and visions, just like you promised in the book of Acts and Joel chapter 2. And we will have direction. We will have your anointing to break the yoke of every level of bondage that has been upon us, because we have done what your word says to do. We have not held back. We have done what your word says to do. So would you declare with me, Lord Jesus,
not only for ourselves,
but those that we hold in our hearts,
Lord, that they will be tasting
of the goodness of the Lord, because I am in Christ. And they will taste of Jesus in me.
And they will say, gee,
this is my day where I say, ah,
I can see Jesus in you.
I can feel his love through you.
I can feel his healing in me.
Because of Christ Jesus in you.
Because of Christ Jesus in you.